at Premier High School.
We are a tuition-free charter school serving grades 9 through 12. We offer a personalized program which gives you the opportunity to recover credits, graduate early, attend school around a work schedule, career and technical training, earn college credits while in high school, become eligible for military service. Learn more about how you can reach your goal.
First Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, whether there be tongues, they shall cease, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity.
Okay, we're going to be talking today about love. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I ask for any sister that's listening in the body of Christ for her love for you to be increased in devotion and absolute fierce loyalty for the keeping of her soul and for just an abundance of fruit for your glory. Ask all these prayers you place in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to head off with these scriptures. This is Matthew 19, starting at verse 16. It says, "Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit, that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest me thou me good? There is none good, but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." And then this is Matthew 15, verse 8. It says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And then this is Matthew chapter 22. Let's start at verse 36. It says, "Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets." And this is Luke 11, starting at verse 10. It says, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, I'm sorry, or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So what I'm doing here is outlining just the fact that that the greatest commandment, he says, is to love the Lord, okay? And then after that, to love others as yourself, okay? But I'm also outlining that we're evil, okay? Once again, I know I say this a lot, but it's important to have this heard on a regular basis. Why? Because our this generation that we're in right now with all of its, you know, works of man, okay, is very deceived, okay, and doesn't believe, okay, that it's evil, okay? But the Bible says very clearly that we are, okay? And the reason why I am outlining this with scripture is so that any sister prayerfully who listens to me will pursue loving God by faith, okay? And know that we're not naturally made that way, okay? We are naturally, okay, like he says, not good, naturally evil, okay? But what does he say? If you ask your Father for a good gift, for he knows how to give good gifts. You ask, you will receive, okay? And he's telling you, you need to love him, right? So ask, you know, ask, give me a heart that loves you, okay? Because he will, he'll give it to you. And then your walk with the Lord will be so much easier, okay? Because the danger is to deceive yourself, you know, and if you do deceive yourself, it's just, it can be dangerous, okay? Because I do see that in people will not actually respond to things of the Spirit the way, let me explain it this way. The Lord helped me understand and open my eyes that without His Holy Spirit, okay, that someone, okay, or something that is of the Spirit, that's truly from God and a good thing, I will actually not like. And at times could possibly even be something that I would turn away from without a love for Christ. Okay? Naturally. Okay? And when he would reveal this to me and open my eyes to it, and I'd go, oh my goodness, that's really bad. Because I didn't want that. You know what I mean? Because my goal is to, you know, by God's grace, bear as much fruit as possible as I possibly can. So I go home, I would see it, and I'd repent. Say, Lord, give me a heart that loves you. I can see this is of your Spirit. I can see this is good, but my reaction is abhorrent. My reaction, my natural reaction to it is not good. Okay? It's exposing, right? Revealing. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It reveals our wickedness. So I pray, Lord, give me a heart that loves you. Okay? If you have a heart, and that's why I'm saying pursue it by faith, because you don't want to stay in a place of deception. It's just we're so, I just hope I can explain this properly. We're so evil. But the problem is, okay, God's not a liar. He's not an exaggerator. We really are. When he says, when Jesus calls us evil, it's a good thing. Hear it and receive it and give thanks that you know the truth so that you can crucify yourself, okay? Crucify your flesh daily and run from yourself, okay? Don't get offended, okay? Know that in that is so much truth, okay? And an opportunity to be completely different if you receive it in truth, okay? And then ask and pursue things by faith, okay? Because they won't be of you. They'll be gifts from God. They'll be given to you by His mercy and His grace, okay? And then they'll be the real thing, because I see this with Christians, where you can deceive yourself, okay? You can have a form of godliness, okay? You can think you're really doing something for Him, okay? Really think, yeah, I love him. But in actuality, there's all types of lies and deception and self-deception in there, and it's really not for him. It's very dangerous, okay, this place. It's very dangerous. Because you can sit there and lie to yourself and then believe it. And the Holy Spirit is so, he's a gentle, okay, and quiet voice, the Bible says. Okay, we see with Elijah on the Mount. So it, you can easily, he can easily reveal that to you. And you can easily ignore it. Okay, and not hear it, and not listen to it, and receive it because of pride. Okay. And then keep lying to yourself until you find out later. And you don't want to do that. Okay. So this is John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay. And the Word, okay. Well, I'll keep reading. It says, the same was in the beginning. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. I'm sorry, was not anything that was made. And in him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. I'm pronouncing it properly. So the Bible is Christ, okay? It says the Word, okay? I'm not talking about making the Bible an idol and like praying to it or something, but there's a reason why when you read the Bible, it reads you. Those words read you, okay? It's Christ. It's a spirit. It's the reason why when you read it, okay, it changes things all of a sudden. It's supernatural, okay? And if you find yourself not desiring to read your Bible, or you know the Holy Spirit is calling you to read your Bible and you don't want to read your Bible, or you read it and you don't understand it, okay, or something's going on there, ask to love the Lord more, okay, to hunger for him. Because if you love the Lord, you will crave the Bible, okay? You'll need it continually and be comforted, just like a person, okay? You want to be around it all the time, just like loving a person, okay, ladies, if you're in love, right? You want to be around that person you love all the time, close, holding all the time, and you'll have that response to the Bible, okay? You'll notice that you won't feel okay going even a certain period of time, even within a day, without reading your Bible. This is Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 23, it says, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You'll guard your heart. You'll find yourself, you know, just desiring for Satan to not touch you, okay, inwardly. And this is the really important part, because you start there, okay, because you see here, like, for example, Matthew 23, okay, this is verse 26. It says, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. You want to start there, but it's a love issue, okay? It's a heart issue, okay? So when you love the Lord, you'll start to be real spotless on the inside, because you're going to want to keep yourself holy for him, okay? It's a devotion issue, okay? You'll find yourself, you know, when he's numero uno, number one in your heart, okay, all of a sudden, the inside gets real clean, okay, because you start, it's just a supernatural change. You start to see Satan as dirty, okay, you start to see him as icky, you know, ladies, that feeling you get, I'm sorry, I'm telling you the truth, okay, that creepy guy, okay, that would always give you, like, that icky feeling, you know, where you're like, sorry, it's the truth though, okay, forgive me, please, I'm not trying to be like, it's just the truth though, it happens, okay, because you like love the Lord, and you see him as glorious and as holy. The Holy Spirit changes your eyes, and you see him as like your knight in shining armor, okay, and like the, you know, the cream in your coffee and like the apple of your eye. Okay. So that inwardly, you know, you're just inside, you're just like, oh my gosh, you're like all for him. Okay. And what happens is Satan becomes the creepy guy that gives you the creeps, and like he becomes icky and like everything that has anything to do with him. Okay. I'm so sorry. It's the truth. Anything that has anything to do with him, you're like, oh, no, don't touch me, you know, don't touch me, you're creepy, you're icky, I don't like you, and it's a love issue, okay, that's a heart issue. So then sin, super easy, okay, super easy, all right, it's just a matter of the Holy Spirit revealing where Satan is, and you're quick to repent, you're not struggling anymore, okay, but it's by faith, okay, it's perfect, that's why I'm saying pursue it by faith, and don't deceive yourself, because if you deceive yourself, it's not going to be... When God gives something to you, it's perfect, okay? This is the book of James, chapter 1, starting at verse 16, okay? It says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren, for every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." So if you do it, it's going to have issues, okay? You do it by faith, wonderful blessing. Number one, it's going to be perfect. It's going to be perfect love, okay? You're going to see it's really going to transform everything, okay? It's going to be perfect. Okay? Everything that comes from God is perfect, okay? And you won't be proud about it either, okay? So it's nice and safe, okay? You won't be lifted. I love the Lord so much. I did this. No, it's a gift. Look at that. I love him so much. Praise God. Look how much it saves me all the time, okay? Because it's a gift. He answered your prayers, okay? And he gave you love for his son. Okay, now, right? Let's take a look here. It says, this is verse 4. I'm sorry, James chapter 4, verse 4. It says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" Okay, so there you go, right? You're not an adulterer anymore. Okay, become otherworldly, commands like that. Okay, come out of the world. Okay, for example, here, this is right, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord." So coming out of the world, coming out of sin, coming out of things that he doesn't like, not a problem. All he's going to do is to show you, and you see it as dirty. You don't like it, okay? You have this sort of, like, you know, just like, affliction to it. You just don't like it. So it's not a struggle. And then after that, it just really pretty much becomes a grace issue in terms of power and things like that, and understanding to know where he is, and then power to get away from it, you know, and, you know, change things, so on and so forth. But the obedience becomes very simple and easy because you just don't like it, okay? And then I can't tell you how many times I sat there rejoicing that the Lord gave me a love for his son, because I look at situations, okay, and I can see that the devil was like, it was a trap. Something was a trap, okay? And the snare was sin. It always is, right? He pulls you off the path in some way, shape, or form, whether it be through deception, whatever it is. He's trying to pull me off the path, or even from fear or something. But nonetheless, I look back, and going through it, I didn't realize there was a trap there. But I get through to the other side. I just know that I just didn't like something. That's all I knew, I'll be honest. I just knew I didn't like it, okay? I was fighting tooth and nail to get away from it. So then I get to the other side of the trial. I look back, I go, oh my gosh, that was a trap by Satan, okay? He was trying to ensnare me. And the only thing that pulled me through the other side was the fact that I love Christ. And whatever Satan was offering me, I didn't like. That was really it. I just looked back and I was like, wow. Okay. I had no idea what was going on. It's really great because it helps so much with pride, okay? Pride is, well, I'll talk about this by the grace of God at another time, but pride is your worst enemy, okay? It's your worst enemy, okay? You want to fight that stuff tooth and nail. But anyways, because what, once again, love, it boils down to love. Because you're going to find is when you love Christ, you want to be close to him, okay? And you're going to find, well, he doesn't like pride. So when you become proud, you see that there's this distance between you and him. Okay, easy to repent. Why? You want to be close to him. All works by love, okay? Even faith, scripture says, book of Galatians, faith, which worketh by love, okay? Love gets you going, okay? But I'll look back, and I praise God, and I give thanks to the Father, because I'm like, thank you for giving me a love for your son, because what happened was, I was in a situation, I had no idea what was going on, I just knew I was running the other way, okay? Away from sin and to Christ. Didn't have any understanding, any comprehension. And some of these situations were extremely deceptive. Extremely deceptive. Okay? But I was like a child. Didn't know anything that was going on. I just knew that in my heart, I wanted Christ and whatever else was around me, which I didn't even at certain points really understand what it was. Okay? But I just knew I was running towards Christ. I didn't like whatever it was around me. I look back, it was a trap from Satan. Satan was trying to deceive me. Whatever it was of the devil. Okay? Didn't look that way. Okay? Very tricky, that guy. Okay? You have to understand this, ladies. The more you grow in the Lord, the more deceptive Satan gets. Okay? The trials do get more and more deceptive, more harder, more frightening. Okay? You have to be fully aware of that and not be deceived. But anyways, and it was love, period. That was it. That's what got me to the other side. Love. I just didn't like it. Just wasn't my thing. Get away. Love. That's it. You can see Christ easier in things because you recognize him. You love him. You know him. Okay. You can recognize his fruit a lot easier. Okay. Either in other believers or in something that's of his spirit. You can recognize it. Okay, because it's like a loved one, you're familiar with him, okay? But you're also hungry for him, because you can recognize Christ, but not want him, okay? And not only you can, you probably do, okay? Just because of our sin nature, okay? So we have to be saved and transformed, because we naturally, okay, desire evil, okay? Because like he says, you being evil, we're evil, so we like evil, we go in the other direction. A lot of the things that are good and of God, we don't like naturally. Naturally is what I'm trying to say, until we have a heart that loves Christ, okay? But you want it to be perfect in this season, because it's really bad. Times are really, really going to get bad. But this is the scripture that I played, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting off at the beginning of this. I'll just read verse 7. It says, it's not speaking of charity, okay? It's just, you know, like the selfless, devoted love. It says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, okay? But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. You will hit points in your trials. You will be more fruitful, and you will overcome, okay? Why? You love Christ, okay? You're hooked, period. You want them. Where there are prophecies, real prophecies don't fail, right? If they're of God, they come to pass. But in your mind, they'll fail, meaning they won't carry you through, okay? You can know what's on the other end of your trial. I'm testify to this. You can have it prophetically told to you with confirmation, tons of evidence, okay? It won't matter. If the trial is hard enough, it won't matter, okay? Because you will just be so worn and exhausted, you can't take it anymore. Okay, so they'll fail. They don't carry you through. Knowledge, it will cease. Okay, tongues, I know that. You could barely even talk. Some trials, I'm being honest. Okay, there's nothing left. Okay, but love, it's the gas in your tank. It'll pull you through to the other side. It will, and I know that. Okay, I know that for certain. I've seen that work in my life with utter certainty. Okay, completely tapped out, can't do it anymore, I am finished, but what? Love. I can't do it. I can't walk away from Christ. I'm hooked. Hooked. Okay? Like a fish on a fishing pole, but not in a bad way, because Christ loves you, and that's a painful analogy, but what I'm trying to say is I can't let go. Okay? Can't let go. Can't tell you how many times, because the Father has blessed me by answering that prayer. Okay, and giving me a love for His Son. Can't tell you how many times I've been in trials. Okay, Satan was giving me the business. It was hard. Hard. Okay, hard. But what? What am I going to do? Let go of the best thing I've ever known in my entire life? Walk away from Him? Whom I'm addicted to? Christ Jesus? Every fiber in my being longs to know Him? Craves Him and hungers for Him? He who is the breath of my very existence? Okay? In whom my soul delights? I can't live without? Whom my heart burns with fire for? Okay? Whom I would rather cease to exist? Okay? Rather cease to exist rather than to be without Him. Cease to exist rather than be without Him. Okay? Okay? When you have that type of love, you'll go through anything. You will. Because the possibility of not having Him is worse than anything else. Okay? Than anything else. That. Losing that. Losing Him. Okay? And I'm not saying that He'll leave you if you mess up. What I'm saying is you won't want to mess up because you need Him. That's what I'm trying to explain when you love Him. You won't want, okay, to draw back. Okay? You will fight yourself tooth and nail to be as close as possible to Him continually. And when you're in the midst of a trial and everything else is failing, it is love that is the gas in your tank that will keep you going. You'll go through it. You don't care. Because the possibility, whatever's going on to you, whatever temptation is there, whatever you're afraid of, okay? Nothing is worse than drawing back from Him, than not having the prize of Him at the end. It's Philippians, I press on to the prize, Christ Jesus. You want it. You want it, and you see it right in front of you. And you love Him, and you'll fight tooth and nail. You go crazy to get through to the other side. That's love. And it's perfect when God gives it to you. Okay? It's perfect. So next thing you know, you're on the other side of your trial. Once again, where is boasting, right? Ephesians chapter 2. Where is boasting then? None. Because you know good and well you would have quit a million times. But the Father gave you love, and the next thing you know, you're on the other side of your trial, okay? Scripture says Galatians, right? Faith, which worketh by love. You're on the other side of your trial, and you know you didn't do anything, okay? You just held on, okay? With all your might and strength, okay? By the grace of God to Christ, because you love Him. That was it. And He pulled you through, and you're on the other side of your trial, and boom, you have this reward. You won the fight, okay? You have victory. And then again, just going back to that scripture about the inside of the cup, a loyalty and a love and devotion to Christ, because I do see this, I come across this unfortunately quite often with spiritual warfare, in terms of believers doing outward things, okay? So I guess since spiritual warfare, it is about, harnessing the authority and power we've been granted, through Christ, and that's good, but it's not used to, like, basically, I don't know, it's not ritualistic, though, okay, because I do come across this quite often, where a believer will have sin inside the cup, and they're using rituals, spiritual warfare rituals, to clean the outside, okay. For example, having something, okay? And like praying over it or anointing it, okay, in their home or something. But you could perceive the spirit. No, Christ doesn't like that. That thing is an offense to him. You just need to get rid of it, you know, or cleansing, you know, sort of generational family trees, okay, which is a good thing, but yet the person is still practicing a certain measure of the actual generational sin, okay, or they still have it in their heart, or they haven't dealt with a family member, okay, and that family member is a part of their life or coming into their home, okay, on a regular, consistent basis, being an offense to Christ, and he doesn't like what they're doing, and you as a believer, okay, or someone as a believer, not speaking specifically, you know, just, this will click with you if it's true for anyone, take heed, you know, but yet still having that person, and they're an offense to Christ, okay? Christ doesn't like what they're saying and doing in your home. Doesn't like what they're saying and doing around you, okay? He doesn't like it. It's just, when you have that love for him, it's like he's in the room with you all the time, okay? And your heart is just loyal to him. And so you're going to be like, if it just makes obeying him much easier. But I do want to call attention to that, because I come across that quite often, okay? This outside cleansing and using like sort of rituals. It's not, you have to clean the inside of the cup, okay? Your heart being faithful. Does Christ like this? You know, is he, would he like this if he was here with me right now? Okay, I don't think he would. So let me deal with this first. Okay, and then, yeah, the Holy Spirit leads you by faith to pray or to do something, okay, then do it. Yeah, of course, it's a faith that'll work, okay, but always focus on the inside first, never the outside, okay? That's really dangerous, okay, cleaning the outside, because you can deceive yourself and think you're fine. The inside is still filthy, just like that scripture. Don't do that. Always inside your heart first. Okay, first, it's best to clean the inside first, okay, and then let the Spirit tell you, okay, now go do this outward thing, and then it'll work, okay? And then this is Zechariah chapter 2, starting at verse 1, he says, I lift up mine eyes again, and I looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. Okay. And then this is Revelation chapter 11. And this is, verse 1 says, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. And then this is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It starts at verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Notice he's saying every man, not certain people, but every man, okay? For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. But if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Okay, so he's talking about, you know, this reward, right? Okay, and being saved. So he's talking about in this time frame, okay, here, while we're still alive. And I've seen this happen in the Day of Judgment. When Christ is revealed in a situation, I've talked a little bit about this before, and the day of the Lord comes, okay, not the big day of the Lord, okay, but like here, this is James chapter 5, verse 7 says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. And then here it says, be patient. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Okay, so you have the big day of the Lord, which is eternal. Okay, and then you have these smaller days of the Lord. And then they're all in varying degrees. Okay, days of judgment, day of the Lord, Noah. Okay, big judgment. Okay, Lot. Okay, day of the Lord, judgment. Okay, it happens in smaller measure also too, in people's lives. So it happens at varying degrees, and then finally eternally. Okay, but anyways, getting back to the temple, I've seen in the day of the Lord, that temple is measured, and like they say, so, and just like he's saying, every man take heed what he, how he built it thereon. If it, you know, it says, you know, it talks about this reward and then being burned, and I've seen, you know, people's works burned. Okay, they've done things for the wrong motives. Okay, they've done things for themselves. It wasn't for Christ. It wasn't for the gospel. Then in the day the Lord comes, and it's measured. It's really, really amazing, actually, when I think about it. I don't know. Just God makes me astonished. I don't know. He's just amazing the way he works, because his word is true, and these things happen, but they're by faith, and then they're revealed. Because I've seen it where I was like, the day of judgment came, okay? And it was just like, all this stuff was going on, but like everything that like the Lord had me obtain by faith, okay, basically was of his spirit, was measured and found a part of the kingdom of God, you know. It was like the devil came right up to the door of it but couldn't enter. It was really amazing. Or like came super close but was not able to actually touch it. It was like safe. And I look at these areas of my life, and they're different in things, both, you know, in different areas, just, you know, all over the place. But what happened was, it's just all these trials. The Lord's taking me through trial after trial after trial, and I go through them by faith, and I just be obedient, abiding in that vine, you know, but it was through the love of Christ, okay? And then the day of judgment comes, and I'm seeing that all my works are like rock solid safe. And I look, and I think to myself, oh my gosh, this is bad. I'm like, if this was not like securely protected by God, it would not stand a chance. Okay, I'm talking about safety of things, endurance of things, like testing of things. It was just like, I looked and I was like, this would have crashed with a huge crash, and it would have been really bad for me, because it would have really impacted me and my family in a very strong way if it wasn't safeguarded by God. Okay, if it wasn't a part of this measuring and this like temple and this safety and this work of God, like it was gold, it came up as gold. Okay, not in my own works, I gotta make that clear, but it was just, you know, a love for Christ. I abide in the vine, had no idea what was going to happen, but beforehand I went through trials and obtained things by faith, and then the day of judgment comes and it's safe. There's destruction everywhere. I'm not gonna mince words with you. Destruction everywhere, fire everywhere, burning everywhere, really bad, okay, left and right. But I had that security that this is going to come through just fine. Why? Because it was for Christ, and it did, and it was fine. Okay, it was perfectly fine. So know that this stuff is real. He measures, okay? So in your life, you know, God, he needs to be the center of your life. He needs to be the why, the how, the when, the what, okay, of everything for you. If it's for yourself, if it's for an idol, if it's for the world, if it's for anything else, it's going to burn. You need to know that, okay? It's not going to stand in the day of judgment. It's going to fall. Okay, just like scripture talks about, having it built on the rock, built on sand, okay? It's going to come crashing down, and you need to know, okay, in the days ahead, we got a rough road ahead, ladies, okay? Rough road ahead, okay? You need to know that when these things fall, it's really going to be very hard for you. And from what I've seen, the impact is just detrimental, okay? The soul is saved, like scripture says, okay? But it's bad, okay? You don't want this. So just keep Christ the center of everything, okay? By faith, once again, if you ask for a love of Christ, I'm just trying to reemphasize this, because just with the state of like the way that like just in general, okay, the way that the world is, because scripture talks about this, that people will be heady and high-minded. Pride is just like really bad, okay? So it's so easy to deceive ourselves and go, no, I love the Lord. No, I'm doing this for Him. I'm just full of lies, okay? That's why I'm really trying to make this crystal clear. So any lady that's listening to me will pursue a love of Christ by faith, okay? Knowing that we're evil, knowing that we're wicked, knowing that we're naturally adulterers, okay? So you can have a new heart that is completely loyal and faithful and devoted to Christ, okay? And we'll be completely faithful to Him, okay? And we'll do things because He loves Him, okay? Then you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. And then this is Luke chapter 18. It says, there was, starting at verse 2, it says, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city. And she came upon him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. He would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Okay. And then he says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Okay. He's talking about vengeance there. But he's also talking also too, though, about, you know, not fainting in prayer. Because we see, you know, with verse 1 of chapter 18, it says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end that men ought to always to pray and not faint. So if you don't see it, just don't give up. Be pushy with it until you got that place where you, you know, have that real love for Christ in your heart, okay? And then I want to read to you, this is Acts chapter 3, verse 26, and it says, unto you first, God having raised up his Son, Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And this is Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 29. It says, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And then this is Revelation chapter 21, starting at verse 9. It says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even jasper, a jasper stone clear as crystal. So what I'm trying to explain here is just help any sister that's listening have a very clear biblical understanding of Christ and his church, okay? About, you know, male and female. Love. It's just love, basically, at the end of the day. I want you to listen to how Peter describes Jesus. He says, in blessing you. Okay? Blessing. Okay? Jesus Christ is our blessing, okay? He's our blessing from the Father, okay? His church is to reverence and cherish, adore, worship, and glorify Him, okay? All right, beloved sisters in Christ, okay? Know that, okay? Know that. As His church, that's what we are to do. Every day, okay? Cherish Him, okay? If it's hindered and you don't understand, and this is something far off to you, be patient, pray and fast, and seek it. It's worth it, okay? That your eyes may be open and you can see Him every day in your life, okay? In the small things and the big things, continually, so that you can see Him and have Him and cherish Him and worship Him and glorify him, okay? In your heart continually. You'll be happy. It's so funny. So many Christians struggle with, like, issues, and I don't want to get off the subject, but you got that, you're fine. 24/7, fine. Continually, fine. You're okay. Nothing to worry about. And I don't mean to laugh or be disrespectful, but I'm just like, I don't know. Everything's about Christ. He's the center of everything, okay? And so whatever it is, you know, I guess I'm laughing because it's so easy, and it just requires, you know, stepping out in faith and in the right direction towards him, okay? Because I just think to myself how happy, you know, so many Christians could be if they would just move towards him, you know, seek him and find him. You'd be so happy. Like, the things that bother you, okay, if I may just for a moment, that bother you, you know, everything is about Christ, okay? It's either you're happy because you got a revelation of him, or you're unhappy because you're lacking him. That's really all it boils down to. It's so easy and simple. I love the gospel, the simplicity of it. It's either one or the two, like, honestly, like, that's pretty much, if you could boil it down to, like, bare minimum, the essence of every trial is just either you're super happy because you got him, or you're moving towards obtaining him, or you're lost and confused and you need to find him in some way, shape, or form so you two can be together and be happy. Just be happy together, okay? Cherish him, worship him, glorify him. He is everything, okay? He is everything. Everything for all eternity, forever and ever. Don't ever let anybody lie to you. Don't ever be deceived. Everything's about Christ. Always will be. He's God. Okay? He's God. Everything's about him. Period. Okay? Either it's in line with him or in opposition to him, but still, it's about him. Everything is about him. Period. For all eternity. He's the Son of God. Know that for a fact. Okay? I just want to explain this in case any sisters kind of foggy on this concept about how everything's about Christ. Okay? Now he's I'll just give you an example. I was going through a trial where I just felt like I needed more affection, okay, in my marriage. And the Spirit was calling me to turn to Christ for my affection. And I was really perplexed. I was like, well, how am I going to get affection, right? Christ is in heaven. You know, I don't understand how that's, anything's possible through God, but I just prayed. That's what I'm talking about. Just be humble and ask and pray, okay? Ask and ye shall receive, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Anyways, and so I said, okay, I prayed, Lord, open my eyes to how you can provide me with the affection that I feel like I need. And, he opened my eyes to my little girl, okay? She had to be maybe about 3 or 4 months old. And she was screaming and crying all the time for me to hold her. It's very strange because my son wasn't like that, you know. I even want to be held from time to time, but it was just like a lot, you know. And I always felt like, you know, I'd be like, Abigail, I can't right now. You know, I got to do this or do that. But then he opened my eyes to, like, that was him. You know, he created her. He put that in her heart, okay? And he wanted things put in order. He wanted me always to seek him first, okay? And then these things shall be added onto you, you know? And so I did. I picked her up and I started cuddling her. Instead of, you know, trying to pacify her with stuff, picked her up and held her. You know, because I held her before, but I just didn't understand. I didn't know. I didn't see it, okay? And so, sure enough, and then it just changed, and I was happy, you know, I was cuddling her all the time, and she was happy, I was happy, that's Christ, okay? And then he fixed everything, you know, and you know, the whole thing with, like, you know, affection and all that, I was made fine in my marriage and everything, but first, he wanted to be glorified in my eyes, okay, and let me see, okay, that he's the one, okay, that provides everything for his church, okay, in every way, shape, or form, even though it's coming through another form, okay, or through something that maybe is hidden in our sight, okay, spiritually, it's still him, okay, and if you seek him and ask him to open your eyes, you'll see, okay, how he's there to provide that need for you, okay, but, you know, it's through him, okay, because a lot of times he'll do that, okay? He'll because he doesn't like idolatry, okay? He doesn't want you to see the source, okay? He doesn't want you to see the thing that's providing the source, okay, of what is needed, okay? He wants you to see him and how he uses things. It's all about him first, okay? Same thing, marriages. That's why Christian marriages are a mess. They don't understand that, okay? They don't understand that. Marriage is an institution, okay, to glorify God, period. It's not about our... I don't want to get off the subject, okay? But we're married, okay? Your spouse, you're there making... The goal is to help them, you know, make sure they're on the path to heaven, okay? Not to have your spiritual and deep and inner needs met, okay? And if they're not being met, there are certain ways where the Lord will, you know, but it's him. That's what I'm trying to explain. It's him first, okay? You know, because if your needs are not being met, and there are needs that, you know, you have that are not being met in your marriage, it's Christ. You're pulling through the Spirit, okay? You're fighting to bring the kingdom of God. You're fighting to bring through Christ in your marriage, you know? Because so many ladies focus on their husband, okay? And they don't understand that this is an institution, okay? To glorify God, okay? Why do I like being married? I like feeling covered, okay? I like that position. And when your eyes are on Christ, you can endure anything, okay? Because you see him and him alone. And you understand that everything that's down here, okay? When it's bothering you, if you're truly full of Spirit and really have a love for him, okay, and you're fighting to attain him. As I press on to the goal of Christ Jesus, you know, you can endure anything because you see, oh, the problem's not, you know, so big. It's just Christ needs to be here. Okay, his Spirit needs to reside here. His kingdom needs to come here. Okay, let me go ahead and do that, and everything will be fine. And then that's when, you know, you get into the second commandment, which is love others as yourself. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you can be, you know, really wise with how you talk to people, really gifted even, like that 1 Corinthians 13 talks about, okay? He says, this is starting at verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Okay? You know, you can have gifts of the Spirit. You can have everything, you know? But you're not going to break through to people without love. It doesn't... That's, you know, what touches people, okay? I mean, you may break through to someone. I don't know. But it's just like he says, you know? Because the thing is, when it comes to spreading the gospel, okay, or, you know, and that includes bringing a person into repentance, okay, because that's spreading the gospel. You need to, you know, we need to be hearers and doers of the word, okay? You're telling somebody that they're wrong. And if they're humble, they'll hear you. But most people today are not. And then you add on top of that, I don't mean to laugh, but this is a, you know, it's a hard fight, okay? I'm going to be honest with you, okay? Wise Christians, they'll hear you, okay? They'll hear you, okay? They'll regard reproof. They'll want to hear it, okay? They'll receive it, all right? They may not fully understand it, okay, possibly, but they'll still hear you, and they'll go and pray about it, okay? And by God's grace, if it's of the truth, it'll be brought to light. It's not such a hard battle. But especially when you're dealing with the proud, okay? Or religious people, okay? And religious people, I gotta make clear, are not just people you find in churches. Religious people could be, you know, people who were former, you know, New Agers, former hippies. They could still be religious. It's a difficult time, okay, because they have faith in their works. Their works are just different than someone at a church, okay? It's a wicked time. It's very, I mean, I don't mean to discourage anybody, but you got to sober up, okay? And you got to know the truth, okay? And you got to be ready for a fight, okay? All right? Okay, I don't mean a fight as in you're arguing with them, but what I mean is you have to know when you're dealing with people today, especially here in the United States, okay, If it goes easily, praise God. But you need to be prepared that it more than likely won't. And you need faith, but above all, love. Okay? And you got to endure. Okay? And hang in there. You got the power of God fighting with you. You need to walk in the Spirit, but, you know, I'm just trying to say, you know, you need to have a realistic expectation, okay, of what you're up against, okay, and that you have to have that, you know, crazy heart of love. And being honest, okay, I've fought and won, okay, why? Love, okay, bringing people into repentance. It's like, yeah, I know you don't like to hear what I have to say, I'm being honest, okay. First of all, you can't fake it. I need to make that clear, okay? You can't fake it, okay? And it's of the Spirit, just like this whole teaching was. You know, if you find that you don't love people, okay? Or just, you know, by faith, asking to love people, okay? Because you can't fake it, okay? It has to be real, okay? You find you don't love people, okay? Especially if you're proud and, you know, you like feeling better than others. You know, things like that. You need to seek that out with the Lord in prayer, just like the first commandment, okay, but it's got to be real. People know when you don't love them, okay, they know, okay, they can see it, okay, if you're using scripture and you're using the Bible, you think you're better than them, they don't want that, okay, nobody wants that, okay, the Lord does, that's not of the Spirit, okay, but when you really love someone, and you need to really love them, okay, they know it, okay, and it comes out, because what happens is all this fake United States junk goes out the door, okay, with people's space and being socially polite, okay, and the way that things are here is so fake, okay, where you say something to them and nobody wants to get offended, okay, nobody wants to show their emotions. Everybody's really tough, really cool, really laid back. All this fake, gross stuff, okay? And it is, it's gross, it's fake, okay? That goes out the door, okay? It goes out the door. Because you're looking at someone, and you're talking to them, and you can see crystal clear the devil's all over them, and you love them. All right? Sometimes there's tears involved, okay? Even intense tears with snot and everything, okay? Because it's love, you know? Alright? You gotta let go of all that garbage, okay? And yeah, you might feel a little awkward, and they might feel a little awkward, but it doesn't matter, okay? You're fighting a fight for their soul. All that worldly junk goes out the door, okay? And what's really in your heart starts coming out. And you're really willing, okay, to go through stuff and forgive and let go. And keep fighting and suffer. Okay, yeah, I know you just did that to me. I don't care. Satan's not getting you. Okay? Yeah, I know you don't want to hear me. Yeah, I know you're rejecting my phone calls. Okay? Yeah. I know you don't like what I have to say. Yeah, I know you want your space. I'm telling you the truth. Okay, but if I give you space, okay, you gotta walk in the Spirit, but I'm telling you the truth. Okay, you'll know when the Holy Spirit's saying, no, you need to go over there. I need to get him. He'll tell you. He'll tell you, and you need to listen. And it works. I'm telling the truth. Okay, because all this stuff that's up the world today, okay, all of it's about Christ. It's meant to hinder the gospel. Because the Holy Spirit will plow right through that. Okay, yeah, I know you just rejected me. Yeah, I know. Okay, read the Apostle Paul. It talks about, you know, how he's been treated. Okay, yeah, I know. Everybody can look at me and laugh at me. I don't care. You're not going to hell. I love you. Get over here. Okay. And I got news for you, okay? Don't be afraid to fight like that. Don't guard your heart. Don't be, you know, saving yourself and protecting yourself, okay? Go all out for people. Doesn't matter if they laugh at you, look at you like you're crazy. God's pleased with that. He'll fight for you. All right? And it wins every time. Okay? Never have I sought for someone like that, like a crazy person, and didn't eventually deal with them. Okay? Why? Okay? Because I was walking in the Spirit, and that's the heart. Okay? That's the heart of the Spirit. Okay? He goes. Okay? It's selfless. Okay? Yes, you need to walk in the Spirit. Make sure, you know, it's not these, like, emotions, that it really is truly the Spirit. But you'll know, because the Holy Spirit will be telling you, this person's in serious spiritual trouble. Okay? And you'll know. It'll bear fruit. Every time. That's happened with me. Okay? All right? Let down that fake stuff, that facade, and just went after him. Come over here. No, I love you. Get over here. No, I'm fighting for you. Get over here. I'm not going to let you go. It deals with people, and like a tidal wave, eventually you just go, okay, because it's gorgeous. People today, okay, with all their space and their Facebook and their social media and their nice little buffer zones, they're crazy lonely. Excuse me. Crazy lonely and heartbroken. Okay? They put up this fake stuff, like they're fine, but behind closed doors they're crying themselves to sleep at night. Okay? Because they haven't seen or talked to a person just walk down the street one day. I couldn't believe this. I couldn't get one person to look me in the eye. That's not how God made us. That's of the devil. These people are prisoners of Satan. God made us to look each other in the eye. God made us to tell each other that we love one another. Okay? God made us to hug one another. Okay? God made us to talk in truth and in realness to one another. All this fake buffer zone space, you know, calm, cool, you know, this like just fake wall that Satan has everybody putting up around them. It's meant to keep people in under the power of the devil, okay? That love will break through there, because you'll be amazed. Somebody will be really uncomfortable. Next thing you know, they can't get enough of you, okay? They're hooked, okay? You have to fight through that little period, but why? That's the love of God in your heart for them. That's the love of the Spirit. That's the love of Christ in your heart for them. And they want it. They need it. They're perishing without it. Okay? We need love. We need it. Okay? We need it like we need food. We need love. Both love directly from the vine and from, you know, from Christ, but then also from one another. We need it. We need it. The real stuff. The real thing that's open. Family. Okay? Warm. Okay? A connection with one another. We need it. Alright? So don't be afraid to love people. And don't be deceived when Satan will tell you, no, don't say that. It's gonna be awkward. It's awkward. Who cares? Look at Jesus. Read the Gospels. He's doing and saying things that's mixing people up left and right, okay? Why? He's of the Holy Ghost, okay? I'm not concerned with this place and what people think, okay? Alright, you always walk in the Spirit. I'm not trying to say anybody, you know, to go off on their emotions. But you'll know, okay? The Holy Spirit will correct you, okay? And then also, too, I will say this, because some may say, well, what if you know, bare your heart and then it doesn't work, you know? And I'm just going to read to you what the Apostle Paul says. This is the 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting at verse 5, okay? But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. You know, the goal is eternity, okay? The goal is having that done. I finished everything. You know, who cares? You know what I mean? Like, who cares what anybody thinks? Who cares what we go through? You know what I mean? You know, like, love people, okay? So what? Okay? Who cares what they do to you? Who cares what they say to you? Who cares what we go through as Christians? Okay? All that matters is when it's over. That's it. That's it. That sticks. Eternity stays. It doesn't go away. Always remember that. Don't let the devil lie to you. Okay? And don't lie to yourself. Okay? Don't deceive yourself in your own mind. That day matters. That doesn't go away. That lasts forever. And if you're fighting for a person's soul, okay, and you're really loving them, well, you know, the Lord's going to take care of you. You're going to be rewarded for that. But moreover, don't you want a clear conscience? Don't you want a clear conscience? Again, don't you want a clear conscience, knowing you held nothing back? You gave it your all. And when the time is up and the judgment is set, and those who are to inherit eternal life are in heaven, and those who are not are in hell permanently, you don't want any regrets. You want what the Apostle Paul has. I have finished my course. Every last thing the Holy Spirit placed upon my heart, I did it. Okay? I did it. Every person he wanted me to talk to, every person he wanted me to love, okay? To really love, okay? I urge you to love. Okay? Will your heart be broken and scratched and cut? Yeah, it will. Okay? Are you going to be mistreated? Yeah, you will. I'm not going to lie to you. But praise God, you're going to look just like Christ. You're going to look just like him. Okay? You're going to be just like him. You're going to love just like him. You're going to look just like him. And you're going to have him and hold him and love him and adore him. Okay? Judge nothing before the time. We have no idea. Okay? We have no idea who's going where and what's happening. Okay? All things are committed to God. He knows all things. Just obey the Spirit and open your heart and love people with truth. Okay? With a true heart, really fight for them. Again, as always, if this is dealing with you and you like are like, oh my goodness, you know, I did that in the past, or you're feeling that conviction, don't run from it or hide from it, okay? Receive it, okay? Just repent, okay? And then henceforth, moving forward, fight, love, okay? And then I want to read to you a couple of scriptures here. This is Psalm 72, starting at verse 8, it says, "He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river onto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him. His enemies shall lick the dust." This is Proverbs chapter 30, starting at verse 29. It says, "There be three things which go well, yea, four are comely and going: a lion, which is strongest among beasts, and turneth not away from any; a greyhound, the he-goat also; and a king, against whom there is no rising up." And this is Revelation chapter 1, starting at verse 7, says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." And this is Christ speaking. He says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord." Okay? Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I just want to just help any sister that's listening to know and understand, like, I don't want to be, like, disrespectful, okay? In any way, shape, or form, but I'm just trying to, like, explain this in a way that is in terms that is very real to any sister that's listening, our God, okay, Christ is like top dog, okay? He's like number one, okay? All right, he's like the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Like, he's, nobody can rise up against him. A king in whom there is no rising up, okay? Every power that tries to exalt itself up against him gets boom, smack down. His enemies lick the dust. Like, he's number one, okay? Like, champ of champs, King of Kings. Like, you see these things here in the world, okay? And they're all just like counterfeits and wannabes, okay? They're not the real thing. Our king, I'm just like, so grateful. I'm like so happy to know him and to know that, like, we belong to him. Like, he's the winner. Like, he's, I don't know, I just hope I'm explaining that well. Like, everything that tries to rise up against him gets completely defeated, okay? You have to be patient. It doesn't happen immediately, okay? Because he's patient, okay? And there's, you know, of course, eternal damnation. So he tries to, you know, the goal is to save souls, okay? And he's long-suffering. And we as Christians, okay, do suffer here for the gospel, okay, for the sake of eternal life, but it's temporary, okay? He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. Like, just any lady that's listening, I want you to know, like, that's your God. Like, that's Christ, okay? That's your eternal bridegroom. He's the winner, okay? He's like the champ, okay? He's like never, ever, ever gonna be defeated, okay? He just suffers, okay, because he's patient and for the saving of souls. But in the end, he destroys every enemy, okay? And you need to know that, believe that, and trust that, and rest in that, okay? That you have nothing. The only thing you need to concern yourself with, ladies, okay, my beloved sisters in Christ, is being outside of his will and pride, okay? Things like that, which is a real issue, okay? It's a real issue, okay? Because of the falling away. Okay, and you know, then also to the lukewarm church, okay, all of these like false gospels, okay, because they do, okay, they can make you proud, they can take you outside of his will, okay, but in terms of like, you know, having an honest and true perspective, you know, your eternal bridegroom, he's the winner, he's the champ, he's the King of Kings. You don't have to worry about anything. We suffer for the saving of souls as he did, okay, so I'm not trying to gloss over that. That's part of being a Christian. But in the end, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is God. They're all going to bow down to him. Okay, period. Okay. So just the main focus is being in his will continually. Okay, and you'll be fine. And I'll leave you with Songs of Solomon. Okay. Love you and blessings in Christ. Okay. Take care.
At Premier High School, we are a tuition-free charter school serving grades 9 through 12. We offer a personalized program which gives you the opportunity to recover credits, graduate early, attend school around a work schedule, career and technical training, earn college credits while in high school, become eligible for military service. Learn more about how you can reach your goal